Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 106.
You old Max Cady?
Well, I could be. What's your problem?
We want to talk to you outside.
Start reaching for those, you better call for the riot squad, man. I don't mind a little talk, I just don't like being parred, you know?
I'll come back for the change later.
I'm going to give you just 1 hour to get rid of your friends.
Are you trying to pick me up?
Yes.
Professor Durant has a little advice for you. You shouldn't damn him. Don't judge him. Just forgive him, for they know not what they do.
Well, why do you hate my father?
I don't hate him at all. Oh, no.
I pray for him. I'm here to help him.
I mean, we all make mistakes, Danielle. You and I have. But at least we try to admit it, don't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But your daddy, he don't. Every man carries a circle of hell around his head like a halo. Your daddy, too. Every man has to go through hell to reach his paradise. You know what paradise is?
No.
Salvation. Because your daddy's not happy. Your mommy's not happy. And you know what? You're not happy. Are you?
No, I'm not.
You thought about me last night, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I know. You know, I think I might have found a companion. A companion for that long walk to the light. Do you mind if I put my arm around you? It's okay.
No, I don't mind.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Julian Williams.
Oh, not Petunia?
You know what?
I was thinking after the big break, you were going for Petunia for sure.
Petunia. I'm trying to ease back into it, okay?
That's all right. Oh, and hello.
In this episode, we're continuing on our theme of remakes with a discussion on the film Cape Fear. Films, I guess, but before getting into our discussion, we should mention that we are brought to you by Deliberate Noise Network. Get to DeliberateNoise.com and check out some of their other amazing shows. So, drink roll call time. Petunia, what do you have?
Okay, so I am having the tried and true, and it is not the grapefruit vodka, and those that are keeping track at home, and I'm sure there's someone besides Rachel that's doing this. I haven't had the grapefruit in quite a long while. Do you know why that is, Cruz?
Because you're not on your period?
No, there's too much sugar in it.
Oh, and grapefruit?
Too much sugar.
Wow, it's like the oldest man thing you've ever said.
It's true. You know, Anel and I watched a documentary, Fed Up.
Oh, yeah, I watched that. It
was a while ago.
Horrifying.
And so we were on this no sugar sort of journey, I guess. And so I'm doing my best. So today, instead of having grapefruit, I am having the old spicy hot V8 and Svedka vodka.
Oh.
Which is pretty tried and true. It's like, you know, it's like a lazy man's Bloody Mary kind of.
I was thinking that. Or a classy man's red beer.
Well, it's much different than a red beer.
Glass half full.
I mean, a red beer, you can have several of them and have it have zero impact. Especially if you're having, like, Busch Light, because it's, like, three-fourths beer and a fourth water, so it's disgusting. Okay, so what are you having? You're not doing a Whole 30 or anything, are you?
I am not doing a Whole 30.
Okay, because as of release date, actually, Let me think about this. I think as of release date, I may be getting married in like 3 days.
What?
Yeah, that's weird.
I know. I thought about doing a whole 30, but then I was like, you know what? Only God can judge me.
Well, I can judge you. It just doesn't mean anything.
No, but I am doing the old standby. A little vodka, a little water, a little lemon. So.
Ooh, nice. So just regular water, not LaCroix?
Nope, just regular water.
Just tap water.
No, not tap, like filtered from the fridge.
Okay. Not Lincoln's finest water.
Right, I'm not chewing it or anything.
So. That's probably for the best. Okay. All right. Well, that is our drinks. Let's go ahead and start our discussion with the original because we go in chronological order, as Rachel is well aware. And our first film is the original version of Cape Fear, and it is from 1962.
Feel suspense that grips your heart in a vice. Feel fear, numbing, paralyzing fear. Cape Fear, starring Gregory Peck, Robert Mitchum, Polly Bergen. Cape Fear, the screen's most terrifying war of nerves.
I've seen the worst, the dregs, but you... you are the lowest.
You just put the law in my hands, and I'm going to break your heart with it.
I got a little plan for your wife and kid.
They're never going to forget. Never.
Nancy! Tell the operator to call the sheriff's office. Send some men out here fast!
Cape Fear, the nightmare that becomes a shocking reality.
Oh, now, come on.
If you touch me, you'll go back to prison for life.
You want to make a little bet on that?
But you will. I'm not like Nancy. I'm not afraid to testify. I swear it. You've got to believe me. I'm not afraid.
Small-town lawyer Sam Bowden's life becomes torturous when Max Cady re-enters his life. Oh my god, where do you find these? Cady went to jail for 8 years after Bowden testified that Cady attacked a young woman. Now that Cady has been released, he begins to terrorize Bowden and his family, particularly targeting Bowden's daughter, Nancy. Initially, Cady uses his newfound knowledge of the law, learned in prison, to annoy the Bowdens, then poisons the family dog, ... who's next, ? Wow.
I believe that is an ellipsis, not a ...
that read like a third grade book report.
What do you mean? You know what? That is the official, like if you go to IMDb right now, you listeners at home, and you look at Cape Fear and you go down to the plot summary, that is exactly what it says.
Yeah, but people just write that shit in.
I know, but a lot of the time I go through and I skim and I find the ones that's the worst, or I find one that's ridiculous.
You enjoy having me Ron Burgundy in my way.
Yeah, I do like making you read the really awkwardly written ones. But this one was just the one that's flat on the like on the main page.
Wow.
So
I mean, I feel like people aren't like rushing to IMDb to fill in the plot summary for Cape Fear. So.
Why? Don't feel like that's a top priority, or
you know what? To be fair, this is like a third grade book report, or like someone's grandmother telling them a story about their neighbor.
That's true. So who's next?
Yeah.
Okay, so the original Cape Fear. This has a tremendous cast.
Yes.
Starring Robert Mitchum as Max Cady, and Mr. Gregory Peck as the other guy.
The man with the best voice of all time.
Yes, as Sam Bowden. And so tell me what you thought of this original version, Ms. Cruz.
It was interesting, I guess. Like, I had never seen either of these, full disclosure.
Yes, me too.
So I had no idea. Like, I did my usual research. So I didn't know what this was about. I mean, it was pretty straightforward as soon as, like, you get 20 minutes in, you know, and then you realize it's gonna get worse. That guy, I mean, I know it's the 60s, so there's a lot of, like, feminist things that I wanted to, like, gripe about, but I'm just gonna let those go. But this guy is, like, super creepy.
Yes.
Like, I wrote this guy's a fucking creep in here, because, like, I don't know. There's really no other, like, I didn't think a better word to describe him, to be honest with you.
Well, okay, so here, one of the things, before I get into what I thought of it in general, one of the things that I thought was really interesting about Max Cady is that we see him wearing all white, right? Okay. And we're in the 60s, and so we're living in a little bit of the kind of stereotype land yet. And if you look at Sam Bowden, he's always wearing dark colors. And Max is almost always wearing light colors. And if this was a Western, you would think, oh, well, Max Cady is the good guy and Sam Bowden is the bad guy because look at the way they're dressed.
Right.
And so I just thought that was a really odd choice for a black and white film to have the bad guy wearing all white throughout most of the film.
I wonder why they did that.
I don't know. Why do you think that they did that? Do you think that it just was like a coincidence, or I don't have an answer or anything. I'm just wondering.
Or maybe they were trying to show, you know, maybe black didn't stand for being a bad guy. It stood for like sadness or like a cloud of, you know, something bad happening to you as opposed to like you being a bad guy.
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been. It is interesting, and we'll get into this when we start talking about the comparisons of the films, but it is interesting that Sam Bowden is a pretty stereotypical, like, good guy. You know, like, he's just, like, a normal good guy.
Yeah, like Gregory, I mean...
He's Atticus Finch, right?
Yeah, and I think I wrote that. Have they ever cast him as someone who's not... like, a bad guy. Oh, yeah, I wonder if Gregory Peck ever played a bad guy.
Well, he plays a different guy in the remake, because he's the lawyer of Robert De Niro.
Right.
Remake, with that weird mustache.
Right, that doesn't match the rest of his face.
Yeah, it's, like, way dark. So, Just for Men apparently came out in 1991.
Right, and he only got that far, and then they're like, you're on.
Like, dude, oh. You're on right now. Ah, oh, shit.
Oh, man, all right. But, I mean, like, in his heyday, like, wasn't he, you know, and I'm going to say bad things, so, like, because I'm not going to know stuff, but I don't think I've seen him in a movie in, like, the 60s in his Wheelhouse era, I guess, where he wasn't, like, the best guy ever.
Oh, no. I mean, I've only seen him in To Kill a Mockingbird and now in this, and then I know that he was in, Moby Dick. But I believe he was Captain Ahab, but I have never seen that.
He wasn't the whale.
He was not the whale. Surprisingly. It was gonna be some stunt casting there, but no. let's see. Yeah, Roman Holiday, The Omen, Guns of Navarone. I have not seen those.
Roman Holiday. I mean, like, in Roman Holiday, he kind of plays like, a newspaper reporter that's trying to get a story, but, like, he comes off as adorable and not sleazy at all, so. And Audrey Hepburn falls in love with him, so what are you gonna do?
Yeah, he is Captain Ahab, in Moby Dick in 1956.
Alright.
And he played F. Scott Fitzgerald in a movie, too, which is weird. And I didn't realize that this came out before To Kill a Mockingbird.
Interesting.
So this is the, it came out first, but this is the same year. So he had one hell of a year.
Right? Playing,
Lawyers.
Lawyers, nice guy lawyers.
Yeah. So I don't know. So there's that part. So Robert Mitchum is sufficiently creepy. Gregory Peck is Gregory Peck. What else did you think about the movie?
I'm trying to look at my...
Like, what did you think overall? Did you enjoy it? Did you have some reservations about it, or what did you think?
With both of these, I think, it was kind of a version of the I Love Lucy syndrome. Where it's like, oh my god, I feel like...
So nervous for them.
Yeah, and not just that, but I was yelling in this one, didn't they have restraining orders back then? And especially spoilers, when he goes into their boathouse or whatever, and he's struggling with the mom, and I'm knee him in the nuts, on his face, I don't know what you're doing, you're basically giving up. I'm so annoyed with 60s women at that point. If this was today, people would just, women would be outraged that they didn't have her, at least try to defend herself. She was just please stop. Please.
Yeah. I would prefer if you did not rape me. Please. He's nah, I'm good. Okay.
I'm going to throw my head back some more.
Yeah.
And be sad about it. And
Peggy Bowden was not a real strong female character.
Right. So, I'm going to start using juicy as an adjective.
Just throwing that out there, just preparing people.
Right. So, I mean, it was an okay movie. Once you figured out what was going on, there weren't a lot of twists and turns. You figure out how things were probably going to play out, and then there was going to be some climactic scene. It was an okay movie, and there was enough in it where I wasn't oh my gosh, this is super boring. So.
Sure. Okay, let's see. Watching this version, I thought that, for me, Robert Mitchum made the film, because I see Gregory Peck, and I do think To Kill a Mockingbird, and I think 60s style of actors.
Okay.
To where it is, how dare you? And very,
oh, that would be good.
That wasn't, okay. It wasn't, it's not like my Jimmy Stewart or something.
Right.
But it's a very sort of prim and proper and I'm an actor kind of line reading.
Sure.
And Robert Mitchum is like, you know what, guy, I'm going to take the keys out of your car. And, you remember me, counselor? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, this dude is not in the same movie. And I think that was intentional because it made him seem like, what the hell is this guy going to do? Because he's not acting the same as the rest of them.
Right, he's not following the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not following the actor rules, and the character's not following the rules of the sort of city that they're in.
Yes, agreed.
And so I was like, geez, I don't like this guy is crazy. And there were things that I thought were silly, like when Max Cady gets his strip search, he is very much sucking his gut in the whole time. He's doing the Superman pose, his shoulders really.
Right, that's a really 60s thing to do.
It's like, oh, geez, does that look dumb? And just little stuff like that I thought was silly. And once we get, we get toward the end of the film, and I did not particularly enjoy that he was going after Nancy, who in this version was 9 or 10.
Right.
And I was like, whoa. Not that, pedophilia needs a, 16 is okay, but 9 is, that's crossing the line.
Right.
but in this one in particular, I was like, oh man, she's way too little. I don't like that at all.
But I mean, the other thing is I wondered what he would actually do if he got her. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
When she was running around and that scene was also weird. The mom leaves her in the car and she
What the fuck was the mom doing? The mom was just walking around.
Right? Well, and then he walks toward the car and instead of I would think of 17 other things that I would do before I would get out of the car and run into an abandoned building.
That was her school.
Oh, that it's was a school pretty that she abandoned. Had.
Yeah, it definitely did look abandoned. But
lock the car doors and honk the horn.
Oh, yeah.
For help. But, not to get too weird, and I don't want to get into this a lot, but, the motives usually for raping someone are different than, like, I'm gonna revenge on your father. And so, like, I'm wondering what he would actually have done if he would have gotten a hold of her. I think he would just kind of beat her, would have beaten her up or something.
Yeah, he was probably just scaring her a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Because the whole point would be to have Gregory Peck be there whenever he was doing whatever he was going to do.
Right.
That would be the purpose of it. Let's talk a little bit about the lady that he picks up at the bar, who I wrote down as, this girl at the dock looks like a mix between Parker Posey and Katie O'Brien. I thought that she was very strikingly similar looking to your sister and to Parker Posey.
I'll have to look at her again. I'll have to revisit.
I know. It was like certain facial expressions that, because she looked to me like Parker Posey, but then she would have certain facial expressions, and I was like, "Whoa, that looks like Rachel's sister."
Well, I mean, she was at the bar, so first of all,
it was like whenever she had like the head tilted back and the alcohol going down, I was like, "Oh, that's it, that's Katie right there."
That looks like a cruise, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
She's a horrible judge of character.
Oh, yes. She's like, oh, for sure, this charming guy that just came out of jail, I'll go home with you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she doesn't even say he's charming. She's like, you're kind of a skeez. Like, just, you're like the worst of the dirt worst people. But we're gonna go home together. So that's cool.
Well, she likes to be a little risky, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that obviously pans out. So maybe this is kind of like a Lifetime movie where...
Yeah. It really doesn't work out that well for her.
Right. No, yeah.
Mm. Poor lady. She gets her ass kicked pretty good.
Yeah, she does.
So, that's not so good. It turns out better for her than it did for Ileana Douglas, but we'll talk about that.
Right.
In a little bit.
God, anyway.
Anyway, so we did get a little Telly Savalas, Telly Savalas with hair. Who's playing a police, a private detective, Seavers, in this.
Okay.
And he's, you know, he's a very famous bald actor, and in this he's got hair and he's wearing a hat all the time, and I was like, whoa, Telly Savalas had hair? Holy shit.
Right? Surprise!
Who would have ever thought?
So, like, you send three people to beat up one dude.
Oh, yes, this is a good scene, yes.
And he, like, beats him up and then...
Beats the shit out of him.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, okay. Well, like, I think at that point is when, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there was something that could have been done that wasn't, but apparently not, because I'm not a lawyer or a, you know, private detective or a cop. So I don't know. Maybe there wasn't.
You know what was unsettling to me? Well, first of all, the freaking, like, Catholic whip bead things that they had was terrifying.
Those are awesome.
And I was like, oh my god, like, that's what those things do? Holy shit.
The Catholic, I think that's what actual rosary beads.
Yeah, I put Catholic whip beads, no thanks. Because it made me think of that, what's the shitty Dan Brown book? The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, okay.
It made me think of that, where the dude, like, whips his back with those things, yeah. Like the rosary beads, or whatever. It made me think of that, and I was like, whoa, this is not good. Anyway, so anybody that could take, you know, one of those and a couple of poundings with some other implements, I thought was a pretty scary dude.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the thing was that the way that Robert Mitchum played it, he was a scary guy, but he wasn't like a complete nut job.
Right, he wasn't like the Joker from Batman.
Yeah, he was a guy that seemed set out for some kind of a revenge, and he was justified in his own mind, and that was the end of it. It wasn't like he was fucking crazy, and it wasn't like, which we'll get to, that he's some kind of a religious asshole now.
Right.
And he didn't get all these back tattoos and shit. So he was just a guy that had lost his mind and was like, you know what? Gregory Peck, who was the witness, not the defense attorney
right.
in this version, he screwed things up. He didn't see what he thought he saw or whatever his deal was. And I can see to where that, you know, he'd want to get after him because it's like, well, you didn't actually see this or, you know, whatever his case was. I don't even remember. But I can see him wanting to get revenge on a witness as opposed to someone that's your attorney that is hired to do a job.
To defend you.
To defend you.
Yeah. Or if you were the prosecutor, possibly.
Yeah.
It would have been understandable.
And if he is the prosecutor and, like, got him to say something that he didn't mean to say or whatever, and he, like,
but he, like, witnessed him, like, doing something bad.
Yeah. He literally saw him doing it, told people about it. And that's why it didn't make any sense to me that he was also an attorney at the time.
Right. That, like, didn't come into play. So, like,
no.
Job. He could have been anything.
Yeah, he could have been some construction guy, and he just happened to see it. So I thought that was kind of confusing in the original version.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, I wrote... So, like, at the end, when he, like, when we're doing all the boat stuff and in the water, like...
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
When he's, like, struggling, and he, like, shows up in the boat with, like, the mom and the daughter, he's, like, soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for some reason, that made it worse to me. That he was, like, all wet and gross and, like, slimy, I guess. I don't know why, but for some reason, I did not enjoy that.
Rachel did not approve.
No.
I don't like this. What did you think about the battle at the end? First of all, Gregory Peck, not great at throwing punches.
Right.
He shorthands them, for sure. Like, throws them from the inside of his shoulder and just kind of, like... I don't know, like, girl punches him, kind of.
I'm sorry?
What? He doesn't throw a punch like a Cruz, I'll say that.
There you go. I mean, the fight scene I think it goes into that little 60s kind of silly things where they, you know, and they make the noises and, you know, I wasn't particularly, like, stuck to the TV about making sure that all the choreography was great or anything.
You weren't checking out the stunt doubles and making sure everything lined up?
But I do appreciate him pretending that he was drowned. That was pretty legit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was a smart move. I was like mentally noting that. If I'm ever strangled in the water, that's what I'm gonna do, is what I thought to myself. So now everybody knows my secret. But
yeah, now they're gonna really keep you under there for a while.
So I don't know. I mean, like, I knew it was a movie from the 60s, so I was pretty sure that it was going to be as happy of an ending as it could, I guess.
Oh, so you were pretty sure he wasn't going to throw the rock at him or whatever, or bash him with the rock?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I figured it out.
You want everybody to die at the end?
No. That Nancy needs to go.
She needs
to learn her lesson. No, I was expecting everyone to make out fine, except for... I didn't know how they were going to handle the Max Cady thing. I thought maybe he was going to allow him to die, which I would be right in the next one. But I didn't know if he was going to be, you know, hauled off to justice kind of a thing or not.
Sure.
So that one kept me guessing for a little bit. But I was satisfied because of the time frame with the way that it ended, I guess.
Alright.
So, and I did enjoy the movie overall. Like, I did think that it was pretty well done. It wasn't one that I would go out and buy, but it was one that, you know, I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd watch it again, but I am okay with the fact that I did watch it.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't, the hour and a half wasn't a terrible experience.
Right, there you go. It was a
real ringing endorsement.
It was an old boy.
It was an old boy. Oh, what's good about that is for listeners, that's been a while, but for us recording, that has also been quite a while since I've heard the old boy jokes. So that's good. That is good. Okay, well, anything else about the original Cape Fear before we move on?
No.
No, okay. Before we move into our next film, we should mention that Audible is still offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It is that easy. So go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. So our second film is the remake. It is a Martin Scorsese film.
I did not.
It is from almost 30 years later. It is from 1991. It's obviously Cape Fear, and the plot synopsis goes like this.
fire.
Oh, thanks. I needed that. Yes.
Hola.
This town is so very nice, and everything is just so very, very nice.
What? Somebody's out there.
What's your connection with this fella?
I was his lawyer.
But you shafted him somehow, right?
And what was he in prison for?
No, really. What did you do?
Have you been following me? Well, it's a small town. Every way you turn, I guess we're going to run into each other.
Dad, you should have just punched him out. Yeah, you know how to fight dirty. You do that for a living.
This guy, he threatened you?
He's clever. So that the law can't touch him.
Come out, wherever you are.
You have a daughter around 16?
16? What?
Every good man's got to wrestle with the devil.
I want you the hell off my property!
You, sir, will be hearing from the Ethics Committee.
We got this freaking psychopath in our faces? I mean, who knows what's true and what isn't?
I'm just losing my mind here.
I called the vet, and then he died.
Lee, I told you not to let him out.
I didn't let him out!
It would be unethical of me to advise a citizen to take the law into his own hands.
You thought about me last night, didn't you?
Evening, ladies.
Hello?
I think we're alone now.
Where are you from?
I'm from the Black Forest. Maybe I'm a big bad wolf. Do you mind if I put my arm around you?
Sam Bowden is a small town corporate attorney / leave it to beaver type family man. Max Cady is a tattoo, cigar smoking, Bible quoting rapist. What do they have in common? 14 years ago, Sam was a public defender assigned to Max Cady's rape trial, and he made a serious error. He hid a document from his illiterate client that could have gotten him acquitted. Now the cagey bibliophile Cady has been released, and he intends to teach Sam Bowden and his family a thing or two about laws.
Mm-hmm.
That was better. I like that one better.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Cape Fear, the remake. This is a film that is... I'd always heard of it because it was a Robert De Niro film, and it was a Martin Scorsese-directed movie. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, and I'm not like a disciple of Martin Scorsese to where I see every single film that he makes or something.
Okay.
But I tend to enjoy his movies. I don't hold Goodfellas up on an altar like some do, but I think it's fine. I do enjoy The Departed, which we talked about way back in the day.
The Departed.
So I do like his films. That being said, this was a film I hadn't seen, and I feel like maybe I shouldn't have seen. Because I had several issues with it. I had many problems with Max Cady's character.
Okay.
I thought that Martin Scorsese maybe dabbled in a little bit of cocaine while he was controlling the camera in this.
A little bit, I agree.
It was moving every fucking second and zooming into everyone's face the entire film.
Really weird things, yes.
And it was just doing really odd, really strange things. So I don't know. I guess I'm going first, but I did not enjoy this as much as the original. I did like the original version better. There are things that I really liked about this version in comparison.
Okay.
And we'll get into them. But I think overall, I much preferred the original version.
Okay. So.
The moment of truth.
Oh, shit! No. I think we're kind of on the same page, and I hate that, but.
Oh, no.
There are things that I thought plot-wise made more sense in this movie. Sometimes. But being like, I could not, I mean, and you know me, I mean, you're more of the cinematographer where you're like, I really like the scene because of the blocking or whatever. And I'm like, sure, I don't know what you're talking about.
But it looks cool, whatever.
Yeah, but this to the point where, like, I was noticing things that I did not enjoy in, like, the directing.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like the characters in this, be it good or bad, got a little more backstory like everybody did.
Yes.
But I didn't necessarily like what they decided their backstory should be.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
So, yeah, I watched this and was not, like, super excited about it either, actually. Yeah.
Well, and it's weird because, I mean, obviously, Annelle's not here, but she had said, she had watched the original with me, and she watched a little bit of this, and I was like, what did you think of that? She goes, well, I didn't see all of it, but from what I saw, I liked the original one better.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, because her and black and white are not things that go hand, right? So normally it's like, oh, color, this one's better.
Ooh. You know?
But, ooh, look at the pretty colors. But this one of the things that I thought was interesting is right away we used the same musical cues.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's fairly interesting. Like, they're going to keep it – they're very clearly just remaking, right, is what I was thinking.
Well, yeah, because, like, didn't it say at the beginning that original score was taken and kind of edited by so-and-so and they were going to use it? So I was like, okay, cool. We'll have the same – this music.
Yeah, and we have, you know, Robert Mitchum is in the film for quite a bit, and we have, like we already mentioned, Gregory Peck is in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, everyone's playing nice, and they're like, yeah, sure, make it for a new generation, whatever.
Which one is Robert Mitchum?
Robert Mitchum, he was outside talking to Nick Nolte. He was in, like, a tan suit, and he was, oh, shit. Let me just look at it real quick. He played Lieutenant Elgert. And Yeah, he was just a guy that was helping him. He looks very different.
As yeah.
Superman. You know, like, Gregory Peck looks pretty much like Gregory Peck.
Right.
But Robert Mitchum looks very much different.
Yeah, okay.
I was okay with this sort of, hey, we're going to just do the same music. And then we get the first sort of look at Max Cady. And originally, I found him to be a man out of time in terms of how he was performing his role. Okay. And I thought Robert Mitchum was so good.
Yeah.
And was so sort of casual where everyone else was not. And here, I found Robert De Niro just to be so misguided in what he was doing, like, so either directed poorly or his choices were so odd that he was this just Bible thumping, back tattoo having, which a back tattoo, like, what the fuck is the point of a back tattoo? You can't see it. It's not written backwards where you could see it in a mirror or something. It's like, what the fuck is the point of that? Like, that just makes zero sense to me. And so, of course, I wrote, like, three lines about that.
Well, like, he was tattooed all over the place.
Well, so that's true. It's a pretty significant tattoo.
Want a giant, ridiculous scale with, like, a knife in it. And
yeah.
They're like, want it on your face? And he's like, no, there's no room there. Too back.
Yeah. Let's just, the whole back, fuck it. Let's just do it. I don't have anything else to put on
there. Right? The funny thing to me about that is that, like, I didn't think of him as Bible thumping in a way where, like, he actually believed it. Like, I know that he said, like, one of his relatives was, like, a preacher or something, blah, 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 but, like, I thought that he just, like, taught himself how to read, whatever, and, like, basically did what some people do and, like, took parts out of the Bible that had to do with justice that he liked and just, like, went with that.
Okay.
So, like, I didn't see him as, like, oh, he's super religious. I just thought, like, he's super bent on justice and on revenge and on apparently people getting their due, and he, like, you know, cafeteria styled through the Bible and was like, oh, yeah, I like this one. Let's put that one on my bicep.
Yeah, well, when I talk about people that are Bible thumpers, sometimes I talk about those kind of people.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You know, that they use the Bible for their individual goals, sure. Not for what it's actually trying to say.
Okay. Yeah, then definitely I would put him in that category.
Yeah. That's what I meant to say anyway about him.
Sorry.
Okay, so he's that kind of guy. Yeah. And then one of the first things I reacted negatively about was, whoa, I do not like this accent, Bobby, is what I wrote down.
Nope.
I did not like it. I did not think that it added anything to it. It was not consistent throughout.
Nope, it wasn't.
And I just was really sort of off-put by it. And I was like, God, why? Like, Martin Scorsese, like, you have all of these Boston accents all the time. Like, you don't know what a Southern accent sounds like?
Apparently not.
Because it don't sound like this. That's not what a Southern accent sounds like. It sounds like what people that don't speak like that think it sounds like.
Yes. It's like a European person trying to talk like an American.
Yeah.
Oh,
you stupid American. You talk like this.
Right. Yeah. Like,
I know.
Robert De Niro's voice is scary enough on its own. Like, you don't need to give him, like, a weird twang.
Yeah. And it was just a weird... I don't know if it was supposed to symbolize his, you know, his illiteracy before he was in the prison or something, and he couldn't shake it. You know how some people just can't shake the accent?
Right, but you think there'd be like a My Fair Lady thing going on where he was like...
Rounded tones, rounded right? tones. Now, let me hear your line.
Let me take your keys.
That would have been hilarious if he's like, if he sits there and he's like, round tones, round. Let me take your keys. It takes them from the car. That would have been awesome.
Right? I think that would have been great.
That would have been such a little inside joke for My Fair Lady for no reason. Oh, that would have been great.
Maybe in Cape Fear, the comedy musical.
That's a much different film.
Right.
Oh, boy. Okay, so let me talk about some of the things that I did enjoy about this. So Robert De Niro was a big problem for me, okay? Yeah. I had a real big problem with that. Like we both said, the film overall is not overly successful. I didn't think. That's what you were saying, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know about that. I mean, like, yeah, no. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. Okay, and so some of the things that I did like is I really enjoyed Jessica Lange.
Yep, I wrote Jessica Lange is my favorite.
Yes, now she has been getting a lot of attention because of her American Horror Stories stuff, but she was great in this.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, like she is sort of dragging everyone else up from the muck. And it's like, no, 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 this is how you fucking do it, boys. Right. Like, this is how it's done.
Yeah, and it's such a departure from the other...
Oh, from the other woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, Gregory Peck's wife was like, I don't know if you should do this, and she's, like, up in Nick Nolte's biz.
Oh, yeah, she says, and I wrote this down, and I thought that you would appreciate that, especially with your Instagram thing, which we'll mention later. But I said, well, I just don't know what I hate more, that insipid tone or your stupid sophomoric infidelities.
Yes!
And I was like, oh, that is good. Like, that is such good shit.
She was great in this. Like, everything she did was great about it. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really liked her a lot. Tell me what you think about Juliette Lewis.
She's... No. Mm-mm.
Now, this is a real lightning rod... I feel, in terms of just people in general, and the early 90s in specific. Because she was, you know, in Natural Born Killers, and she does the thing where she is the same character in every performance.
I pretty much verbatim wrote that. In real life, Juliette Lewis acts exactly like her characters, is what I said. I think that's what she does.
She's just like a stoner, like a little aloof and head in the clouds and maybe smart, but just doesn't know how to articulate her intelligence kind of a person.
And like, just, oh my God, every scene with her, like my first note was Juliette Lewis is a little bit sexier and naughty is what uh-huh. I, cause like we obviously have given the daughter a couple, like, almost 10 more years.
Yeah, well, she's like 15 or 16, years. Something like that.
That's right. And, no. Like, she... I don't know. She just rubbed me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Pun intended at all.
Like, no pun intended with her and Max.
She's like talking to her dad, and he's like, put some clothes on, which, you know what, I can't fault someone for not wearing pants, but like, when you don't know this, but when you're like a girl and you get to a certain age, it's just like weird to not wear pants around your family. So I don't know.
That's good to know.
Right.
It's good to know raising an almost 8-year-old.
Right? After a while.
I don't know. Actually, now it's like, what are you doing? That's too short. What are you doing?
Right. See? Yeah. She's only 8. Can you imagine when she's 15?
I don't even want to.
I can't wait a minute.
You're not allowed to be around boys until you're 25. Shut up.
And then the scene with Max, like, when... Nope.
Oh, the drama teacher.
Nope.
What? I thought that scene was great.
The entire time, I was just noping it.
Oh, what do you mean?
No. Like, from the very... Right when he said... what did he say? I think we're alone now.
Yes.
Nope.
He's doing the cultural references.
Yeah, right? Right?
And see, okay, the thing that I thought was so weird about that is, okay... I taught drama, right?
Mm.
And there would be no way in the world that I'd be talking to a student like the way that he's talking to his, you know, quote, student.
Right.
And I was just like, oh my God, this guy would never get his certification, ever. Right? This is not how you talk to students. You do not introduce yourself and then give them a joint.
Right.
Do.
Well, you don't call them either.
Yeah, that was funny. That was interesting.
And she's like, well, you know what? I'm trying to remember back when I was 15, because, like, believe it or not, I probably wasn't the smartest teenager. But, like, I really think I would feel awkward no matter what if a teacher called me at my house.
I don't know, Cruz.
Yeah.
You were pretty studious.
No, I wasn't. You'd be like, I noticed that you tried to get out of class today.
They'll be like, look, I've got something for you to read tomorrow. Done. Yeah. I'll read whatever.
I already read it, actually. So.
You don't have to tell me what I need to read. I'm ready.
Right. I read your teaching plans for tomorrow, too.
Yeah. So I did think that whole dynamic with Juliette Lewis and Robert De Niro, I thought that worked a lot better, though.
I thought it was very interesting,
mm-hmm.
but I noped it because, like...
It's super creepy, especially when he keeps putting his thumb in her mouth.
Oh my God. Don't.
Right?
Don't bring it back to me.
I mean, that was like, that was me backing away and like turning my head going, ugh, oh no.
And she like lets him, which, yeah. If I was, no, no. Well, see, I just keep saying no.
She is, you know, exploring her identity.
With like a very creepy, I just kept thinking like, what does he smell like? He can't smell.
Dude, he just smells, he looks like he smells like seafood to me.
Yeah, and cigarettes, yeah.
Oh man, speaking of the cigarette or the cigar smoke stuff, is when, at the very beginning of the movie, when he's at the theater laughing hysterically. Being like
dick bag.
Oh, at Parent Trap, I think it is?
No, it's Problem Child.
Oh, is it Problem Child with John Ritter?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And so anyway, I saw that and was like, oh God, like, and to this movie? Come on.
Right.
This is the movie that's so hilarious? Get the fuck out of here. So.
No, because it wasn't that great.
No. So anyway, so we have several things that are troubling about this film. They're, like we said, Jessica Lange is very good. I personally liked the dynamic between the sort of pedophile stuff. I thought that worked a lot better. It was more effectively creepy.
We'll yes.
That way. And then I also thought the Ileana Douglas reason for her being in the film worked better than the girl that I think looks like your sister.
Yep, I agreed. Yeah.
You know, because I think that it makes more sense for Nick Nolte to be kind of a scummy guy and to be sleeping around, and then Robert De Niro finds out and is trying to hurt that person, as opposed to it just being some rando.
Yep, That was one of the plot things that I thought was good. And I thought that, like, I'm back and forth, because, like, I like that they fleshed out the characters, like I said, a little bit more, although Julia Lewis needs to just keep it in her pants, but, you know, I liked that they gave Nick Nolte a backstory, but at the same time, like, I thought he was a giant pile of shit douchebag for cheating on his wife. Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, with whatever that girl's name is that you said that I can't pronounce.
Ileana Douglas.
Yep, sure. I thought with her, you know, like, I'm like, oh, they're just, like, weirdly playing racquetball, which is kind of creepy, and you're still kind of a douche, but then, like...
Well, then he was, like, tackling her a lot, and, like, grabbing her, and I was like, ugh, what? Why? Why?
She's like, they haven't done anything.
She's got, like, big horse teeth. Why?
She's okay.
Well, but, I don't know. I mean, Jessica Lange's nothing to sneeze about.
Right, well, and then she gets in his face, like, this is why we had to leave Atlanta. I was like, oh, my God, you are the worst. And so, like... Later, when he's like, I'm not gonna hire these men because that's outside of the law. I'm like, do you really want me to think he's like a stand up guy? Because I do not.
Yeah.
At all.
Oh yeah, when he's talking to Jodan Baker, when he's talking to Claude Kersek.
Yeah.
Jodan Baker's character, but he's you know, he's like, oh, I'm not gonna go outside the law. And I was like, wait a minute, dude, you're okay with sleeping around,
right?
But hiring someone to kill someone, that's what your big problem is, like, right. Where's like, the line at?
Sleeping around and, like, being a dick and grabbing your daughter by the face and telling her to listen to you, like,
yeah.
You're not a good person. Like, I didn't, that's the thing, like, those two characters are so different in this movie.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Gregory Peck is, like, everyone's hero. And
well, that's why Ghost at a Watchman was so troubling, right?
Let's go. You know what, I don't have, like, a preference, because I knew it was a first draft for her.
Yeah.
And so, like, I totally get you can write a first draft, and then you can write a fifth draft, and they can be completely different, and people need therapy, it just needs to calm the hell down.
You can just have Truman Capote actually write it, and then everything's fine.
Right. The other point is, maybe if you are knowing that your relatives are senile, don't publish their work, you know? Maybe just...
maybe. Well, it's not, it was the lawyer after the sister died that was just wanting money.
Of course it was somebody wanting money. But you know what? I'm glad I read it, and I read it knowing what it was, and so I didn't freak out about it, and I just appreciated it because I got to read the first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird.
So which is a wonderful, wonderful movie yes. And book.
Agreed.
Yes. Okay. So anyway. Cape Fear, which is a little different than To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah,
so they are different characters. Gregory Peck is a little different than Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
For those that aren't aware. Nick Nolte is... He does seem like a real scumbag to me.
Okay, I'm glad, because I was like... I'm hoping that they're not trying to have all those other details just be brushed aside.
No, I mean, he seemed like a jerk-off, and he yeah. seemed like he was a guy that, you know, it was weird, because it's, I don't know if they were going for, yeah, get him, Robert De Niro, he deserves it, or what they were going for.
Right?
Because in the first film, I felt like, oh man, poor Gregory Peck, like, he did his best, and this guy's terrorizing him.
I totally agree, like, he was just witnessing, like, he pulled a guy off, you know, of a lady, and then trying to help her, and he's getting fucked over for yeah. it.
And here, I'm like, well, I don't give a shit about Nick Nolte. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
I hope Jessica Lange fucking divorces him and gets somebody nice.
Right? And has, like, her daughter go to boarding school or something.
Yeah. The daughter needs to go to girls' school or something. Stay away from the weed.
Right? I thought it was gonna be a little bit like Saw, because, like, when they're talking,
Saw.
You're with me for like 2 seconds.
All right, hang on.
Take a drink of your goddamn red beer. Right.
Everyone, buckle up.
So, because he is talking to him in the cafe or whatever, and Robert De Niro's character, Max Cady, is like, you don't appreciate what you have, and you're treating your family like shit, and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going to make you appreciate what you have. And so it was like, I couldn't tell if it was like a revenge story or if it was like Saw in the way that I'm going to teach you a lesson for your sins kind of deal.
Okay.
All
right.
So then I thought that there was going to be like this, like when, so I'm like trying to pick up on that. When they're in the boat, you know, he's like protecting his family. Is he like trying to be a better person? Like, does he learn a lesson from this? And I'm like, I don't really think he did. Like, I don't know if he did or not.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say that he did either. I mean, he learned, apparently, you know, you can't smash someone's head in with a humongous rock, even though they're just kind of hanging out.
Like, you can, though.
It's like, guy.
That was magic.
Come on, dude. Like, you can, it can move. His head did not move so quick that you couldn't just also move with him.
Right.
And one of the things that I did want to mention is, how brutal was the scene where, you know, we talked about the Catholic beads?
Yeah.
How bad was the remake where they were just getting the shit beat out of each other with lead pipes and stuff? Oh, my God. I was like, why is no one dead? Why is everyone not dead?
Right? And he beat to shit, but, like, he walked away from it because he's apparently indestructible. This is the prequel to Unbreakable. Like, he never died. He got hit in the face with a rock, and he's like, what's up? He's probably at the bottom of the ocean right now singing a song.
Oh, yeah, singing some, or he's like talking in tongues.
Yeah, what a
that was fucking ridiculous.
So, okay, so let's talk about things that made me angry. First of all, where do you find lead pipes? Do you just buy them at the lead pipe store?
Yeah, you say, hey, I need a beaten pipe, and they're like, oh, yeah, aisle 10.
Right. Okay, good. I need one with a handle, though, because I'm going to do a lot of beating.
But one that's not so easy to take away, maybe next
right.
time.
Right, I need one that makes like a cling cling noise when I drop it on the sidewalk too, while I'm running away, like thunk. So the things that I did not enjoy is like right at the beginning when Nick Nolte is talking to Jessica Lange and they're in the bathroom and he's like they're getting ready for bed, and half of the screen is Jessica Lange, which. Sure, that's great. But the other half is legit just Nick Nolte's face.
Yeah, his super large face with his weird looking teeth.
Yeah, I don't understand. I did not understand that. Did not like that at all.
I don't know that we've emphasized enough how much weird camera movement is in this film, too.
Right. Well, and then they had, like, they were having sex and there's, like, weird x-ray shit.
Oh, yeah. There's x-rays on Juliette Lewis's face later, too.
Like, what? Why? And then there's another one when he wakes up and thinks he sees Katie out, like, outside of his bedroom. Like, yep. I don't understand the x-ray stuff. It reminds me of, like, when people try to play on their iPad using the filters, but...
Check out this Instagram filter. This right? is gonna make it look cool.
Yeah, and then, like, I think there was a lot of really weird, like, cuts to things. Like, when the first time that Jessica Lange sees Robert De Niro outside, like, behind the fireworks, she has, like, three cuts where she looks in three different windows.
Yeah, she kept looking through the windows. It's like, hey, Jessica, sweetie, if you look out every single fucking window, it's not going to make a difference.
She's still going to be there. I promise.
And there's still going to be, like, a $1 million worth of fireworks going on in the background.
Yeah, oh, that looked amazing. I wonder, anyway.
That did look cool.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. There were just weird things like that just annoyed me a little bit. Like, weird cuts. So I think maybe there was some drug use going on. I don't know.
Oh, man, but there had to have been something.
The other thing that annoyed me is that Nick Nolte hid the fact that a girl was promiscuous. And therefore, what?
Promiscuous equals they want to be raped, Cruz. That's how it goes.
Oh, my God. I was like, are you okay?
She was asking for it. She slept with people.
I could not believe that.
Look at what she was wearing. You knew she wanted it, Cruz.
Oh, my. Are you trying to piss me off right now?
I am, yeah, a little bit.
Oh, man, you're getting real close.
That's what it is in movies, though, right?
Well,
I mean, that's the sort of horse shit that you end up hearing.
That's what this was insinuating, I'm assuming, is like, I hid the fact that she banged a couple guys because that means that she obviously was a slut and went, like...
Oh, yeah. If you bang a couple dudes, that means that you'll bang all the dudes. That's how it works.
Or that you were asking this dude to bang you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, why would you say no? You've already banged these other dudes. What's your deal?
You've slept with one human man. Why wouldn't you sleep with all the other human males?
That's right. How dare you? You already had the nerve to do that.
So when he was, like, confessing, I hid the fact that she was promiscuous.
I was like, oh, and it's the word, too.
Yeah, yeah.
If he would have said that she was, like, a whore or something, I would have been like, okay, I get it. I get it somewhat. That to me makes me think like that she was a prostitute or something.
Right.
And that makes it more believable or something.
Yeah. Just promiscuous. It's almost like we went all the way back to 1962.
It really is, because it makes me think like, oh, well, this high school student dated two different high school boys before she graduated. She is promiscuous.
She was pinned by Jimmy and Bobby.
That's right. She wore both pins, which means she's promiscuous.
Pretty big slut.
Yeah. So, which, man, if that's the sort of problems we had in high school these days, whew, I would take that.
Great.
Holy shit.
I just feel like they could have come up with, like, a better reason, I guess, for him to be mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I honestly think that it should have been that he was the prosecuting attorney. That would have made the most sense to me.
It really would have.
But I don't know why they were... Maybe they were just trying to prove that he was an even bigger sleazebag than he already was. Because she was, Slick Sam back in the day.
Man, I don't know. That was not very good, though. I was not pleased with that either.
No, I thought that was a pile of horseshit, by the way. So.
Okay, so let's talk about them in comparison. Which one do you think that you preferred? Because I feel like both of them had some problems and both of them had some things that worked.
Yes. So like I said, I feel like the newer one, and I feel like we're going to run into this a lot. It has a little more backstory, a little more characters, where in the early ones, when they didn't have to give a shit about things like that, we're going to have more, you know, archetype type things that's just trying to tell the story, which I don't necessarily, like, hate. But I mean, long story short, I like the first one better.
Okay, sure. So. That's surprising. I thought you were going to... I don't know. I guess I don't know what I think. I guess I thought maybe you were going to say that you liked them about the same. And that weren't real excited about either one.
There were things in the newer one that I just couldn't get over. Like making out. No. Nope. And then just a lot of things in there. Like, I wanted it to be... And this is shitty to say, but, like, if it was done now, it would be so much different than either of these two, probably.
Yeah, well, it's another 15 years, you know?
Yeah.
Or is it? Wait a minute. 25 years.
One. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's almost 30 years. We could do another one.
We could. Wow, that is 21 years. Holy shit, the 90s is a long time ago.
It really was.
Or 25 years. Jesus.
You know who should do the
Christopher Nolan.
Yep. How did you know?
Because that's the answer to all of the, you know who should.
And it could
the
be
only sad. Guy Rachel gives a shit
British
about.
British people, so yeah. We got that going right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because British detective movies are like the shit.
We could have Christian Bale be either one of the characters.
Oh, no, I don't want him to be creepy because I love him so much.
Okay.
So I don't know who would be creepy.
We could have, like, Vigo be creepy or something.
Yeah, I want it to be somebody who's usually, like, adorable, though. Like, Orlando Bloom or something.
Ew.
Right? He'd be really good at being creepy.
Ew, I guess so, but why would he bother? Isn't he, like, a ladies' man to where he can just get all of the females?
But think about it, like, give him, like, gross hair. Like, it could work.
Like the ponytail? Because he's got that kind of longer... hippie-ish right. sort of yeah. hair. Mm. What about my boy from the High School Musical? What's his name?
What?
What's the guy from High School Musical's name?
Zac Efron?
Yeah, because what was that movie that you made me watch that I said that he was going to win an Oscar someday? Oh, fuck, what's the movie called? It was a movie with him and the kid.
Yep,
it was baseball.
Where he was dead. One of them was dead.
It's like Good Luck something or something like that.
Charlie St. Cloud.
Charlie St. Cloud, yes. Okay, so anyway, I I saw something. Oh, I was watching Liberal Arts with the How I Met Your Mother guy.
Okay.
And Ted. Okay. And with Elizabeth Olsen.
Okay.
And it's super good, and he's kind of going back to his alma mater, and she's an undergrad, and he's kind of wistful of his undergrad years and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's written and directed by him.
Interesting.
And I think it's good. And anyway, Zac Efron is in the film, and he plays like a hippie weirdo and like a stoner. And I remember watching the movie not too long ago thinking, I told Rachel that this motherfucker was going to win an Oscar someday, and look at his stupid ass.
So he's not.
He's making a fool out of himself. I don't know. I feel like he still could be good in a good role. And I don't know why the hell I am talking about him now, but...
Do you know what's ironic, and we're going to come full circle, is he was in The Neighbors, and they had a Robert De Niro party.
Oh, really?
All played Robert De Niro in different characters.
That is really funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's played Robert De Niro.
Well, there you go. Cape Fear, 2017.
With Zac Efron.
Zac Efron and Christian Bale.
But I feel like Christian Bale would beat Zac Efron's ass.
Oh, he would beat the shit out of him. Christian Bale would have to be the bad guy in that situation.
Yep. Maybe you're right. Yeah. We'll have to talk more about... We'll have to call Chris.
Yeah, we'll get him on the phone.
We'll do a dinner date or something. Get him to fly in.
Hey, Chris, couple things. I know you're busy. I want to talk about Cape Fear and Zac Efron. Click. It'll be good.
I think we got disconnected.
Must be a time zone thing. I don't know.
Oh.
So that would be good. All right. So anything else about Cape Fear in general? Huh?
Which one did you like better?
Oh, that's right. I liked the first one better. I liked the original. I thought that Jessica Lange, if her character would have been able to somehow be in the first film, you know, I think that that is a much stronger role.
Yeah.
And I do like how really creepy and effective the drama teacher stuff is.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Because I think that is so, so upsetting.
It is. Yes. It's horribly upsetting.
And I think that that works very, very well for what it's trying to do. When Robert Mitchum is just chasing her through the abandoned looking school, and then it's the janitor that it turns out to be chasing her. Not really chasing her.
Right.
It's like, okay. And the mom's just out shopping or whatever the fuck she's doing.
I was just wandering around.
Yeah, I was just, I was having my salty dogs all day, and I was loaded, and I just was walking around and then driving around.
Oh, I'll be drinking. I'll be way too shit-faced to remember to pick you guys up.
That's right. So, I don't know. I thought that I liked the original overall, but I liked parts of the newer one a whole lot.
Okay. And I hate to say I agree with you, but yes.
Dang. That's not as fun. We figured this one coming back would be a whole shit show of arguments and pent-up frustrations.
Just yelling curse words.
Yeah. It'd be a whole thing. It'd be like just burning the whole thing down. Some people just want to watch the world burn, Cruz. That's a Joker thing. Calling back to that Joker reference.
Right? Oh, man.
There you go. I'll explain it for everyone that didn't get it.
Got it.
Okay, well, why don't you wrap us up here, Cruiser?
Fine, I will. If you have any comments for the show or themes, suggestions, or movies that you would like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79, and I'm at LadySizzlag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search Plain Label Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with more remakes in 2 weeks.